Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the founder of Everything Coworking. This episode is a little bit unique. If you happen to be new to the podcast, then know that this is not my typical style, but I'm going to put it out there just to try it. I felt really compelled to record this episode, so I'm going to share it. Although I have to be honest, I keep thinking, should I share it or not? It's a little bit different because I usually kind of talk about sort of how-tos, or we do interviews and talk about sort of more tangible topics. And this is more about leadership and our role in our communities as leaders and sort of just thinking about ourselves and how we show up in the world and whether or not our actions are aligned with our goals. And so I sort of dissect an experience I've had recently, and you know, I just want to make sure, certainly I'm not perfect at all of these things. And it's one of those experiences that makes me really introspective and look at my own actions and, you know, like I said, how I'm showing up. So I just wanted to share it with you and would love feedback. If you hate it, certainly let me know and I'll stop doing these. And if it's your first one, maybe start with another episode and come back to this one. Okay. Well, have a listen. Let me know what you think. You can always send me an email at jamie@everythingcoworking.com. And I hope you have a great week. Okay. I'm going to do a slightly different style of episode today. So hang in there with me. It's going to be a little bit shorter, but I wanted to share an experience that I've had recently that I think is related to us thinking of ourselves as leaders. If you own a coworking space, or you're thinking about owning one, or you're on your journey to opening one, you play a leadership role, at least with your own community, maybe with your staff or your broader community, and you're setting goals and standing for something in your space. And I want us to think about, how do we get into alignment with those goals, with all of the aspects of the member experience? The words that we use, the way we greet our members, the type of member events that we have, the food that we serve in our space, all those types of things. As leaders, we're going to sort of say what we stand for. And I think there are a lot of times in life where actions and signals that are sent just don't align with the bigger goal. I've had an experience over the last few weeks that really kind of points that out and is a good example of that. And I just wanted to share that because I think it's a pretty tangible example. And I think, you know, at the end, I'll relate this to coworking a little bit. So I've mentioned a couple of times that I'm coaching my daughter's soccer team. She's 7. So she is playing in one of the big soccer organizations that is national. It's big. It's well known. They've been around for decades. I'm sure it's a not-for-profit. It's mostly volunteer-driven. They have some paid staff. The coaches are certainly volunteers. And so they set a really public goal this year of having 50% of the coaches, at least in our league, be female by the year 2020. And my guess is it's not even 10%. I mean, I very rarely see other females. And I understand that it's a challenge. I only have one kid, so I don't, you know, she plays, so I don't have to worry about what does the other kid do while I'm coaching her team. Do I have to, you know, I have obviously work. I have to manage my calendar, but can my husband manage his calendar to take care of the other kid while I'm coaching? It's a challenge. You know, same thing for male coaches, but I would hazard a guess that it's more challenging for the female coaches. I also played soccer. I love soccer. So I have that sort of inherent passion for being involved with it and a level of comfort. I've never coached before, so it is a huge learning curve for me. Very humbling. Trying to coach 7-year-olds is very challenging, as you've heard me talk about. Kind of reining in their attention and figuring out how to motivate them and help them grow and become better players. But I at least have a comfort level with the game. I know the rules. Like, you know, I'm not totally starting from scratch. And so they set this lofty goal. And I thought, yeah, I'm totally on board with that because sports are a big deal in our kids' lives, right? I mean, I was hugely shaped by my experience playing sports growing up. And it is distressing that most of the coaches are male. So, you know, we have some big gender societal problems that we need to work on, and having females be role models and in charge of things, if that means being a soccer coach, you know, that counts in my mind. We need more women who are in charge and visibly in leadership roles. And I think sports is a great opportunity for that. And especially at a young age, you know, girls should think it's totally normal to have female coaches. Boys should think it's totally normal to have female coaches. And it's not totally typical. You know, it's extremely rare. And so I thought, so they made this big public announcement about this at the season opening parade, which, by the way, I think is totally ridiculous. But lots of people there, you know, people in the stands, and they make this big announcement about their goal. And so I thought, all right, well, we'll see some things that, you know, support women. Well, so I'm going to start off with kind of a, you know, a funnier side to this, or a lighter side to this. But I noticed it, and I think it's one of those subtle things that you don't think about unless you really focus hard on whether all the pieces of your experience and workflow line up with your goals. So one of the things I noticed, and the men listening might think this is kind of weird, but at the parade, lots of the guys were wearing these red polo shirts. And I was wearing my frumpy dumpy t-shirt that they give you when you're a coach that says on the back, you know, we coach, you cheer, they play, or whatever. And it is not flattering. And I'm pretty fit and in shape and I look good in lots of things, but this t-shirt is like really not flattering. And all the guys are in these like sporty red polo shirts. And I thought, well, I didn't even know about the polo shirt. Where'd they get the polo shirt? And so they're already like in this club that I'm not in. I mean, I don't want a polo shirt because also not very female friendly, right? So I want some cute sweatshirt that's stylish, that has a soccer ball on it, that, you know, that I like to wear. But mostly the problem was that there was a, oh, they know about this and I don't. And maybe it's because I'm new. I don't know. But like little things like that, like how do you make everybody feel included right off the bat? Especially the new people, especially the women, because you said you want half of the coaches to be female. So I kind of noticed that. And then the next thing that happened is they started scheduling. So we already have to be at practice once a week and game once a week. Once a season, they have a double header. So on two occasions, they sent emails requiring attendance at an event. One was a training, one was a ratings meeting. The first time they gave a week notice, the second time they gave 2 days notice. And the 2 day notice was given on the weekend of our double header, which meant we had a game Saturday, a game Sunday, and then had to be at this meeting on Tuesday. And we don't, you know, this is not my job. I'm a volunteer. And they know these things happen repeatedly, right? But they're not pre-scheduling them. And so I know it's the year 2018, but it's not that easy for women to get a free night to go to a thing. And if I can have a free night to go to a thing, I'd rather go out with my friends. That's an aside. But there's no effort like, oh, bring the kids if you need to, or we'll have snacks and a movie for the kids or whatever. None of that is just required. You got to show up. So who thought about, does that align with recruiting females? It doesn't align. And I have to say that even I feel very strongly about wanting to recruit other women to be a part of this organization and to coach. But I feel like I would have to warn them, look, they call these meetings and they say they're required. And then, you know, they're in 2 days or a week. And so you don't get a lot of notice and it's a little bit hard. So, you know, you might want to be prepared to manage that. So that's not a positive. And then the thing that happened that really triggered this episode about alignment, because it was so surprising to me, the meeting that we had this past week where they gave 2 days notice that we needed to be there with a form filled out about our team, we had slots that we were going to come to depending on the age group that we were coaching. So I came, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes early to my slot. So the previous group is there doing their ratings. It's all men sitting in a circle. And then there are three people from the leadership team of the organization standing kind of near the door. Nobody else in the room. So two of the leadership team members were male and one was female. And I came in and I'm all obviously a coach and there's no other reason for me to be there. I'm wearing sporty clothes because I'd come from practice. And they said nothing to me. They didn't greet me, nothing. And I had this expectation, like, women are like a real rare commodity here and they want more of them. And so I thought they'd be kind of excited to see me and to get to know me a little bit. They were having a little internal conversation, but not in the corner, like right near the entrance, and they literally ignored me. So I went over and introduced myself and thought, well, maybe they'll engage in a little bit of discussion, maybe ask for some feedback, maybe ask, you know, just be pretty interested in helping to engage me and to retain me and maybe talk to me about, you know, how do we get more females? Not a word, not interested. They kind of went back to talking about what they were talking about. So I went to sit down and I pulled out my phone and then I thought, I'm not going to sit here, you know, checking my email because this is important to me and I need to, you know, sort of do something meaningful here. So I got back up and I walked back over and I interrupted them again. And I said, you know, it's really important to me, your goal of getting, you know, 50% female coaches. And I want to see how I can help. And I said, I have some feedback. I said, you know, there are some things missing that I think could be pretty helpful in terms of recruiting and retaining female coaches. You know, there's no mentorship program. There's no buddy program. I said, what about a simple Facebook group? You know, I said, I don't know who to talk to when I have a challenging practice and I want it to go better next time. Team management, teaching skills, like there's no, they have lots of coaching plans and things like that that they give you. So they make it easy sort of technically, although everyone in the room agreed that the drills are not really age appropriate and they're pretty hard to use. And so, you know, you have to figure out a lot of things on your own. And there's no, so even any new coach would have that problem, male or female, right? I think females are more likely to internalize that and think that that is their, you know, a default or a fault of theirs, a weakness of theirs, versus just saying, oh, I'll figure it out. You know, I think there's a gender difference there. And I think women need to be more supported. And they're not digging into that at all. They're just setting this goal and then not lining anything up to support that goal. And I think it's sort of a real obvious gap. And it made me think about myself and my leadership and my goals that I'm setting in the organizations that I'm involved with. And I thought, you know, what's not aligned? Where are my gaps? Because I'm sure there are some, right? Like these are very intentional things you need to think through. What is my goal? And then, you know, what is the user experience, you know, related to that goal? And what does the workflow look like? And what are all the touch points that need to line up with that? Like, you know, just even this meeting Tuesday night, like when a female coach walks into a meeting, you treat them like royalty so that they will recruit other females. And, you know, you find lots of touch points to support them, you know, recruit them, retain them, engage them, all those things. And none of that is happening. So to kind of circle back to co-working, I mean, I'm just going to generalize it and say, you know, when you open a space, you're standing for something. You know, it doesn't have to be a niche space, but you're standing for community. You're standing for a healthy workplace. You're standing for convenience. You're standing, you know, you're doing this for something. So what are all the things that you do that line up with that goal? An example, I've talked about this on the podcast in the past, but it came up on a Slack group conversation I was having with my flight group members today about how to do snacks, how to charge for snacks, because sales tax is a big issue, what to offer, etc. And some of them offer not so healthy items. You know who you are. I'm picking on you in public. I'm sorry. And I feel pretty strongly that, you know, my space is called Enter Space and I started it because I really care about wellness at work. And that's not necessarily, doesn't have to be physical wellness, but, you know, obesity is a major problem in our country. And I think if you are putting out free bad food at work, you're contributing to that because I'm a super fit person. I said this in my Slack response. I'm super fit, but if you put a bowl of mini Twixes out on the table, I'm taking that down. So my strategy is don't expose me to it. I can't have any of that stuff in the house at all. I just avoid it. So I sort of follow that principle. If you're going to have a treat, have it out of the house so that you can't have 10 of them. So anyway, that's just one example of like my tagline is work well. And so we're pretty consistent about, you know, we don't do, you know, sort of really unhealthy foods in the space, especially on an ongoing basis. Maybe once in a while we'll do a treat thing, but we try to stay like pretty consistently lined up with that. And like I mentioned, like I specifically won't serve pizza for member lunches because there's just no nutritional value to pizza. Try as you might, tomatoes, I guess. So it's an example, but carrying that across, like, what is it that you stand for? How does that come across in your member communication? How your community manager interfaces with your members? What you talk about on tours? You know, the experience that your members have at events, you know, the what your Slack group does, like kind of all the pieces that play into the types of events you'll host at your space or not host. How does that all kind of line up, you know, your goals and what you stand for, and does it? So, or this could be in other parts of your life as well. Soccer is obviously not work, but it had a big impact on me. So anyway, it's just a little bit of a thought-provoking podcast. I honestly had to get it off my chest, and I thought, well, I have a podcast. They'll listen to me talk about it. They have to. My poor husband doesn't have to listen to me. So he will certainly get an earful, but you know, I kind of wanted to talk about that in a broader context. So I hope this has been a little bit helpful. Think for me about how this applies in your world, not just about what the local soccer league is doing and not just about male and female, but how are you aligning your everyday world with your bigger goals? All right, I'll get off my soapbox now and I will talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.